Welcome back to the FKT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today I'm joined by Kumi Redpath, who set the supported and overall FKT for New York's Long Path, completing the 358-mile long trail in 7 days, 7 hours, and 59 minutes. Kumi, thank you so much for coming on the show today to share with us.
Thank you so much for having me today.
So I was wondering if you could start out by telling our listeners about the Long Path, where it is, and what it's like.
The Long Path is the 358-mile trail. Begins at the 175th subway station in Manhattan in New York City to the village of Altamont nearby Albany with 68,000 feet of vertical. And also, trails go through sea level on the road to 4,100 feet of Slight Mountain, which is the highest point of the Long Path. Mountains are not very high here, but it's really technical and rugged and grueling trails. And in some sections, you have to scramble up to get to the peaks.
Mm.
And Long Path go through also very popular and famous and most toughest trails called Devil's Path and the Burroughs Range.
Yeah, is most of it on natural surfaces, dirt and rock, or is there a good bit that's on a paved bike path type of trail?
I would say 80% of the trails are trails, actual trails, and probably 20% mm-hmm. will be road and flat.
Okay.
But most of the trails are kind of like technical trails, and you're going to connect to the forest, state park, and to the city, and many villages, something like that.
Yeah. So why did you want to set an FKT on the Long Path?
The original plan was to celebrate my birthday last year. And to me, it was a milestone, and I wanted to do something meaningful to me. And instead of having a big, big party, I kind of thought this is going to be a great opportunity to do something meaningful to me. So then I, as a trail runner, I always appreciate to be in the trails and mountains and nature. So I think it was the great opportunity to give back by raising funds for New York, New Jersey Trails Conference, which is a local nonprofit organization. And many volunteers work hard and build and maintain trails safe and accessible. So probably this is going to be the opportunity.
And so this was a birthday celebration and also a fundraiser. Why did you choose to go southbound? Is there an advantage to going south versus north?
Trail-wise, we actually talk about which one is more easier to do FKT, but mm-hmm. there's no way to get easier, because if technically trail goes down south, southbound has like, it's kind of downhill to get to the sea level, but they have a more punchy hills to going down to the southbound.
Right.
But I actually live in Manhattan. So to me, running, it's more like I just gonna running home. So mm-hmm. I think it's more like a mental reason to do southbound.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of benefit to that. This idea of like running home, you know. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of pull there when you know you're going home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Close to my apartment, you know, like I'm going to see the kind of familiar views
right
coming soon. You know, I want to see the bleach.
Yeah, the trail becomes more familiar the further you go along it. You were supported on your effort. So can you talk about the people that helped you, like about your crew? How many people were involved and how often you saw them? What was the crew's role in your run?
So basically, I have two different crew members. One is a crew chief members, and the other one is pacers. So we totally separated crew and pacers. So I have a total 20 crew members.
Okay.
Which include 6 crew chief members and also 14 pacers. And the pacers obviously pace me, navigate me to the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And crew member, crew chief is basically need to do meal prep and also communicate with pacers. And this time, crucial role for them was actually to replan for the second half of my attempt. That's because in the middle of the trip mountain, I have a severe pain around my ankle.
Mm.
So that made me to go slow down. So then they have to change entire plan to totally different way.
Mm-hmm.
So then they have to figure out where they can meet me to give food and where I can even sleep. So they plan very, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually in the middle of the nowhere in the Catskill. And there's no cell phone service, nothing around it. There's no road access, anything at all. But they access to the internet and replan it and communicate to pacers, and everything worked out.
Yeah. Those are great people to have on your crew that are able to adapt and come up with a new plan like that.
I actually have a lot of plan. Like I have a plan A, B, C, D, E, and even I have a plan G, which is my husband's name is Glenn. So he planned differently. So we have a lot of plan, but everything didn't work out in the end.
Right. Yeah. I feel like that's the way of it a lot of times. You can make all the plans and know that they're probably just going to go out the window and you have to adapt.
Yeah. Or there's something happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how often were you seeing your crew chiefs? Were you seeing them multiple times a day?
So at the beginning, I went through kind of like a raw-ish or very accessible sections. So I saw them very often, like every 3 mile or 5 miles, but that's the first day.
Okay.
And later, I technically see every section. So long path have 35 sections on the trails. And I usually see end of the section and I eat something there and switch pacers sometimes, do something if I need it. So the longest actually about like 14 miles, I didn't see any pacers. But shortest was like 3, or even pacer followed me by a car.
Okay.
And then navigate which way to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you alone for that? You said you were alone for that 14 miles. Did you have pacers with you the rest of the time? Or how often did you run by yourself?
I ran with pacer 98%.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't run by myself at all. So I always have a pacer.
Okay.
And the longest 14-mile section was with my pacer, and that was the lowest moment. But he always pushed me hard to bring me to the next section.
Were all 14 of your pacers involved through the whole time, or did you have different people coming in and pacing you for different parts? Were all 14 of those people around the entire long path cycling in and out, or did you have people that came out and paced you for the first few days and then different people that came and paced you for the next few? Like, how did that look?
Before we start, we made a shift chart, and someone can commit a day, someone can commit just like sections, like afternoon on this day and that day, and someone just commit just in the morning. So we literally make a plan for day by day who is available on that day. So one person ran actually 85 mile with me.
Wow.
Yes. But he ran with me on first day, second day, and he came back to third and fourth day. No, it's not. Fourth and fifth day.
Okay.
Again, in some small sections. So sometimes run a lot.
Okay.
And one person did like, but I would say like, I always have a pacer who can commit a day. So always one person is able to start from the morning,
mm-hmm.
and finish together.
Where were you sleeping on this? Did your crew have an RV or something, or were you staying in hotels? Were you tenting? Where did you sleep along the way?
So we rented out a commercial van, and my husband wanted to put actual full-size mattress in it.
Uh-huh.
So that was my sleeping station.
Okay.
End of the day, I slept on the mattress.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, no, twice, I need to sleep on the trails. And one time was at lean-to. I slept about hour and a half there, and I have to start right after sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
And the other time was, so like I say, I have an ankle issue. Then my crew have to change the plan completely. So then what they decided was they hike up with all sleeping bags, tent, food, extra stuff, and carry up to the trail. And we actually have a camp there.
Did they have to go like buy this stuff? Did they have to figure out where to get? Or did you already have that camping gear with you in case you needed it?
So we actually had all camping stuff for emergency situation. So that emergency situation actually happened.
Okay.
So they have to hike up to the mountain and set up all the camp gears. And yeah.
Yeah.
The thing, I really appreciate what they did it to me.
Yeah, the thing that you don't want to have to do, and then you had to do it. How much sleep were you getting? Like, were you sleeping a full night each night, or were you just taking like a couple of hours and then getting up and running through the night? How did that play out?
So approximately, I calculated about like 16 hours on the mattress, but I have a like 3 to 5 minutes dirt naps on the trails. I would say like once or twice a day.
Yeah. What were you eating? Was your crew cooking meals for you, getting you lots of fresh food? Were you just doing kind of like gels and bars and things like that? What were you eating while you were out there?
I heavily rely on actual meal. And some people eat like a gel, so those nutrition, but it didn't work to me. Like, I haven't run some over 200 mile races. And I realized I have some sort of stomach issue and I always puked at the race. So then I actually saw a doctor and I wanted to know what exactly happened to my body. And I got the colonoscopy and gastroscopy and then realized, okay, so I have a lining issue in my stomach. So I started to take medication. I changed to be better. So then also 200 mile races, through the 200 mile races, I realized gel doesn't work out. You need a food to go further and further. So I really rely on actual meal. So at end of the section, crew prepare some sort of like food. Sometimes they order like Uber Eats or something.
Okay.
To get ramen noodle, or they got the Shake Shack burger or something you get from near town or somewhere. But rather than that, I'm an Asian. My soul food is rice. So rice works well to me. And I ate a lot of rice for the fuel. So usually pacer call or text my crew chief what I want at the end of the section. So then they're going to start making or heat up rice, or like I use actually freeze-dried camping food as well, which has a lot of calories and then easy to eat. And then I think I eat about like 800 calories, 2000 calories at the section, end of the section.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, on the trails, I ate like some snacks, but mostly I had scratch high carb. And that's it, actually. I didn't have any good or better eating strategy or food nutrition. It's just eat actual meal.
Well, it sounds like you figured out what works for you, and that's the important part. What was the weather like for this? Did you have any issues with the weather?
Most of the days, actually, it was raining. And it was freezing cold in the mountains. So, like I say, in the Catskills, we have to scramble up to get to the peak. So we literally have to hug trees and logs, and we get wet a lot.
I feel like going through that rocky technical terrain when it's raining could maybe not. Maybe dangerous is the wrong word, but I feel like you could easily slip and fall and hurt yourself. Did you have any issues with that?
I did not, but my pacer was actually carrying all his tent and sleeping bag, and he actually fell. It's not fell, like a slip down from the rock. And when I realized, he was completely upside down.
Oh, no.
In the middle of the rocks.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like, he was laughing. So I immediately knew he is okay. But that was the moment, like, it was crazy moment.
Yeah.
In the mountain.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I've never seen like pacer upside down in front of me.
Right? Yeah, that's not usually what happens.
Never happened.
So obviously you're going through some towns and villages, and obviously you finish in the city. But in between, you know, you're out in places like the Catskills and stuff where it is pretty remote. Did you encounter any wildlife when you were out there?
So I actually saw three porcupines in the Catskills, and that was my first time to see them. I was so excited and took a video of it.
Did you see them during the day or at night?
It was at night.
Yeah, I feel like that's usually when you see them.
It was so cute.
Yeah. Did you see any bears or anything else?
I didn't see any bears this time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, which was probably a good thing, but like,
yeah,
I expected to see more wildlife. But I think we talked a lot on the trail, so they totally escaped from us already.
Yeah, they saw you, but you didn't see them.
It also at night, I have a 3 lights with me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was super bright.
Right. Yeah, I was wondering what you used for seeing at night. What headlamps or what lights were you using?
So in the Catskills, I have 3 lights. Headlamp and also west light. And I have put lights on my chest.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's because there's a lot of rocks and it scramble up. I need to see every single rocks. So I have 3 lights in the Catskills. But after, I actually kept using 3 lights in the middle of the night. That's because that makes me wake up.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then the brighter, the better to wake up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
How popular is the long path? Obviously, you had your crew and your pacers and those people around you, but did you see other people on the trail running or hiking it?
I didn't see many people, honestly. It's some section very popular, but not all sections. So like at the Devil's Path, obviously there's people, but unfortunately my plan, the original plan, start those harder section from the morning and finish at night. But because my injury, all plan flipped to nighttime. So I have to go through all difficult sections in the middle of the night.
Oh, no.
So that was really hard, but, you know, I have to enjoy it.
Kind of along those lines, what was your best moment, your highest high out there? And what was the worst moment, the lowest low?
So the lowest is literally like when I got pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go up the hardest section with the pain. That was mentally, I'm literally down and I couldn't think anything at all. But highest high was literally like at the last section after I passed the state line, which is between New Jersey and New York. It's going to be just the 40 miles to the finish line. One friend show up and another friend show up, and then ended up a lot of friends came to me and we finished at the 175 subway station together. So we have actually 15 people and one dog finished together.
Oh, wow.
That was really cool. And I was so happy. Well, yeah, I was so happy, but like my stepson was actually took a video of me finishing and cross the bridge. And I watched it. I kind of thought I was smiling and I was so happy, but the reality is my face is not happy and I didn't see anything at all. I was just watching on my feet.
Yes.
So I was like, oh no.
You were happy inside.
Yeah, totally. My inside was happy, super happy. I thought I'm like smiling even.
Yes, yeah.
But my face was totally serious and I'm like, my face showing like end of my life or something.
The outside was too tired to keep up with the inside.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about this a little bit, but what was it like running into the city at the end of this week of being out on the trail and doing this really hard thing? I know you said it was like familiar and you were happy because all your friends, but was it overwhelming to all of a sudden have lights and sound and traffic and people, like, or were you just like, oh, I'm home? Like, it felt comfortable. How did it feel to you?
I was very emotional, actually. Still, like, if I think about it, I can cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was tired, so I was so emotional, but I can't be too emotional or to cry because I don't have any energy to cry.
Did you cry afterward, like once you were done?
something came to me, like very like feel like something, but I couldn't.
Ah, I'm finished.
Right. Are you happy with what you did? Do you think that you would do it again to see if you could do it faster? Or did you meet your goals?
Honestly, my goal was to do soft 7 days. So honestly, it wasn't the time I wanted. I was a little bit disappointed, but thinking about like community aspect that my friend helped me a lot, support all the way to cross the bridge and to get to the subway station. I think I'm very satisfied that we did it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just me. We as a team did it. This a huge accomplishment. And also as a woman, you know, it wasn't a lot of time, but women beat men's overall time. That was huge to me as well.
Yeah, you have the fastest time across all genders and all categories.
So far.
Very impressive. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing about this.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Kumi, for coming on the show. You can read about her FKT on the website, fastestknowntime.com.